Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much that your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages, and Lord, you have a hold of us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're so thankful for the promise that you will not let us go, though the storms may rage, though the seas may churn. You've got us, and you will see us through. And so now, Lord, by your word and by your spirit, speak to our hearts. Draw us close to Jesus, for it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14 tonight, and we're going to look at one of my absolute favorite stories in the Bible. And it's been one of my favorite stories since I was a kid, but the reason why it's one of my favorite stories has changed over the years. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000, and then he sends his disciples out, and he stays to pray, and then he goes to his disciples in the fourth watch of the night, walking on water to get to them. Isn't it amazing that our Lord is able to overcome the laws of physics to walk on water to get out to his disciples who were out in the boat? So for years, this was one of my favorite stories, simply because of the miraculous nature of it all, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is 100% God and 100% man, was able to walk on water. And I got to be honest with you, throughout the course of my life, there have been a few times poolside that I gave it a try. Can I tell you something? I'm not Jesus. And I bet if you've given it a try, you've found that you're not Jesus either. But there's an amazing aspect to this story. Not only was Jesus able to miraculously walk upon water, but by his power, Peter did the same. So we're going to look at this story tonight, but I want to encourage us, because the reason this is one of my favorite stories changed when I became a young adult. And it's because it went a little deeper than just the physical miracle that had happened. Once I became a young adult, life started to happen, and that happens to all of us. Things start to go in ways that perhaps we didn't plan for, or perhaps we didn't anticipate, and the world can be a wilder place than we think it might be. And as I was emerging as a young adult, this new group at the time, Casting Crowns, put out an album, and on that album was a song called The Voice of Truth. And this is the way that the song started. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to step out of this boat I'm in onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name, and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. And when this album came out, life was hitting me in ways I didn't expect. And I was dealing with realities of life and dealing with adversities that I was not accustomed to dealing with. And so this story of Peter being called by Jesus out of the boat took on a whole new meaning, a whole deeper meaning, recognizing that Peter was facing the wind, facing the waves, but he was looking to his Savior and listening to the voice of the Savior's truth. And the chorus of that song says, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. So in the context of recognizing that life sometimes becomes tumultuous, I want to give you this theme tonight. Though the storms of life rage, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Though the storms of life rage, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Look with me at Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. Matthew, a saved tax collector, records this as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. Immediately, he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Let's pause there for a moment because I want us to see something vitally important for you and me here. The first point I want to give you tonight is this. Jesus was God in flesh, and he still spent time in prayer. Remember, Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is God the Son. And even God the Son had to go and get alone with his heavenly Father. He had to go and spend time in prayer. And here we see that Jesus spent hours in prayer all by himself with his heavenly Father. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus had to spend time alone with God in prayer, what does that mean for you and me? If you're like me, so often you fall into the trap of trying to be a rugged American individualist who pulls yourself up by your bootstraps and you are able to overcome any challenge. Well, the Bible says that apart from Christ, you and I aren't able to do anything. And if Christ himself had to spend hours alone with his heavenly Father in prayer, then that means we absolutely have to spend time with our heavenly Father in prayer. We are weak and he is strong, but he loves us and he tells us that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect in our lives because then we finally and fully rely upon him. I didn't want us to miss from this story that Jesus Christ himself spent time alone with the Father, so we have to spend time alone with God as well. That is where our strength comes from. That is where our encouragement comes from. That is where our help comes from. If Jesus had to pray, we got to pray too. So maybe the best thing you can do right now is push pause on this video and just spend a moment in prayer. Tell the Lord that he is strong and you are weak, but you rejoice even in your weakness because you know that by bowing before him and relying upon him, then you are fully strong. Feel free to pause right now and come back in just a moment. Well, let's look back at the story, this time looking at verse 24. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. So the second point I want us to see tonight is this. The disciples were experienced fishermen. And they still got scared. The disciples were experienced fishermen, and they still got scared. So here's the deal. It's the fourth watch of the night. And remember, the fourth watch of the night is that time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It is the darkest just before the dawn. And they are out battling raging seas. The wind is blowing, the waves are capping, and all of a sudden, in the darkest part of the night, they see something approaching them walking on the water. Now, they understood the reality of physics, and as fishermen, they knew things don't just walk on the water, so they didn't know what it was. Some even exclaimed, "It's a ghost." They were scared. And do you know that just because you're experienced in life doesn't mean you won't get scared sometimes? Just because you've been there before, or perhaps it's not your first rodeo, doesn't mean you won't become frightened by circumstances at some point in time. It's okay. It's okay to experience the sort of fear that comes from circumstances that are outside of your control. You say, "Well, I thought the Bible tells me to have faith over fear." It does. The Bible does tell us to have faith over fear, but recognize that as a human being who is not in control of nearly as much as you think you are, that there will come times when you are frightened and you are afraid. It is not a sin to deal with fear. But the question of faith is, what will I do with that fear? Will I allow that fear to encapsulate me, or will I allow my faith in the risen Savior to drive me through the fear to my faith? In other words, if you were to take your fear out and isolate it and hold it in front of you, the question to ask is, what am I going to do with this? And the answer is, you take it to Jesus. And the answer for me is, I take it to Jesus. And so often, you may think it's crazy, but sometimes I'll actually visualize that, okay, I'm taking this fear that is gripping me now, and I'm holding it and looking at it, and what will I do with it? I'll remember that the Bible says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. I'll remember that the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's not a bad thing to experience fear. What do you then do with that fear is the question that we have to answer as we trust and follow Jesus. So now look with me at verse 27. We're going to see what happens here. They're scared to death. They're exclaiming, it is a ghost. They cry out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. The third point I want to give you tonight is this. Jesus was God in flesh, and Peter was filled with faith. That in the face of their fear, Peter was filled with faith. Now, so often we miss this because if you've heard the story before, you know what comes next. You know what's going to happen when Peter's out there and he sees the wind and he sees the waves. You know that Peter's going to start to sink, okay? But think about the faith that Peter had in Jesus. Faith enough that compelled him, not knowing what that thing was approaching them, but hearing Jesus say these words, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter was filled with such faith. He said, if it's you, then call me to come to you. Because he knew that if it was really Jesus, Jesus had the power to call him to come and to walk on the water, defying the laws of physics. The words that Jesus say here are very interesting. When he says, take heart, it is I. Ego a me. It's the same words that he uses when he says, before Abraham was, ego a me. I am. Jesus is reminding his disciples of his claim to deity, that he is the same God who presented himself before Moses. And when Moses said, who do I tell them sent me? What's your name? God says, I am. Tell them I am has sent you to them. And Jesus here says, take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. So Peter was so filled with faith that he stepped out onto the water with his eyes fixed on Jesus, and he was able to live in the miraculous as he focused on the Lord. Well, you know what happens next. Let's look at it. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. The fourth point. But when Peter focused on the wind, he became filled with fear. When Peter focused on the wind, he became filled with fear. Now, I want you to see here part of the human experience. Peter was filled with fear. They didn't know what that thing was coming walking on the water toward them in the fourth watch of the night. Take heart, Jesus said, it is I, do not be afraid. So Peter was filled with faith, and he stepped out onto the wind, onto the waves in the midst of the wind. But then, once he got out there, Peter started looking around, and he saw the wind, and he saw the waves, and he began to become afraid again. Listen to me. You may be experiencing in life some highs and some lows, some faith and some fear, and it's interspersed between different moments. That's exactly what happened to Peter. He was filled with fear, but then he was filled with faith, but then he was filled with fear again. And he began to focus on the things that he was afraid of. He began to focus on the circumstances that were surrounding him. And anytime we begin to focus on the circumstances that are surrounding us, that necessarily pulls our focus off of Jesus. But then Peter exercises faith again. You know how he exercises faith? Three words worded as a prayer. Lord, save me. Can I tell you that that is the prayer of faith? That is the prayer of faith. It is three simple words. Lord, save me. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, cry out to Him now. Lord, save me. Or perhaps you are dealing with a situation where you were filled with fear and then filled with faith and then once again filled with fear as you looked around at the circumstances and you feel yourself beginning to sink. Cry out to God, Lord, save me. It is a prayer that He hears, and it is a prayer to which He responds. Watch what Jesus does, verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped Him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The fifth point I want to give you is this. When Peter cried out, Jesus intervened compassionately and miraculously. When Peter cried out, Jesus intervened compassionately and miraculously. There was a time in my life where I kind of viewed Jesus' statement to Peter as more of a scolding, and I don't think that's what He's saying here. I think that when Peter started to sink, a smile came upon the Savior's face. And as He reached out His hand in response to Peter's three-word prayer, He was filled with compassion for this, His beloved. And as He pulled him up back to the top of the water, "Oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt?" Jesus knew why he doubted. There's wind and there's waves and it's crazy and we're breaking the laws of physics. Jesus knew all those things. But what Jesus is seeking to communicate to him is this: if you will keep your eyes fixed on me, I'll see you through. See, the thing about Jesus is He's not afraid of the wind. And the thing about Jesus is He's not afraid of the waves. And the thing about Jesus is the laws of physics don't limit Him. And so He is able to intervene compassionately and miraculously. He is able to help. At the bottom of your notes, I've reminded you of Matthew 14, 27. Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And so maybe right where you are, right in this moment, whenever you're experiencing this service, you need to hear the words of Jesus yet again. Take heart, it is I. The I Am, do not be afraid. The wind and waves still know my name. So tonight, I want to invite you to be encouraged, because there are circumstances crashing all around us that can very easily pull our attention off of Jesus. And when they do, we begin to sink. Perhaps not physically, but oh, how figuratively we do. And when we face those moments where we, like Peter, have faith that seems too small, we are filled with doubt because of the wind and the waves surrounding us, let us look again to Jesus, crying out to Him, "Lord, save me." And He will. That's who He is. That's what He does. The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, "Do not be afraid." The voice of truth says, "This is for my glory." Now, out of all the voices calling out to you right now, choose to listen and believe Jesus' voice of truth. Let's pray. Lord, circumstances can get away from us and life can humble us quickly. We pray that we would cry out to you. In moments of fear, may we be filled with faith. And when fear returns, may we take it to you, and may we be filled with faith yet again. We thank you that you are our God who says to us, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And so, Lord, by your Spirit, let us respond in faith to you. And Lord, before we go to conquer the rest of this week, in Jesus' name, we join yet again our voices and our hearts and our minds together to pray the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight, and we invite you to join us this Friday at 6:30 p.m. as we ask our Lord to draw us ever nearer. God bless you.